Glory to God. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. Amen. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. We're going to read the rest of that chapter of Mark right here. I'm going to preach a message on trouble, a message that came to Jairus. The words that said, trouble not the master anymore. I'm going to tell you, a lot of times we think things is over when it's not over. We think things are final when it's not final. See, we see out of our eyes. We don't see from the spiritual perspective. There's always another side of the story. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 21 right here. And when Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee? Sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all thy truth. And he said unto her daughter, thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of the plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue certain which said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thy master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto her, to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the turmoil, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumma, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given to her to eat. Go back to verse 35, in that last part, where it's that the messenger came and said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest the master any further? Heavenly Father, we come before you, dear God, today, Lord, and we lift you up, dear God. We exalt you, dear God, today, Lord, and we ask for your blessings, Lord. Ask for your anointing, dear God, to be upon me, dear God, to speak your word, dear God, today, Lord. Today we pray for your help, dear God, and your anointing, oh God, today, Lord. We just pray for you to just move, Lord, upon me, Lord, as I speak your words. Let your spirit do the work in here that needs to be done, dear God. Move upon lives and hearts, God. There's some that may need a touch today. Lord God, we believe, God, for you to touch them today, Lord. And we honor you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, sometimes as human beings, we tend to lose hope. Anybody ever been in that situation where you seem like it seems like all hope is gone? Everything you've exhausted, everything, it seems like it just ain't going to get no better. Sometimes we seem to forget that Jesus, with Jesus, there is nothing that is too far gone that he can't make whole. How many know that this morning? There ain't nothing that has gone too far that he can't make whole this morning. You see, what we tend to look at many times is we tend to look at it through the natural eyes, what we see by our sight, and not look at it through the spiritual eyes, by faith, if you will. You see, I see that situation, if you will, right here in these passages in the book of Mark, where Jairus has had a situation of life and death in his house. After all, his daughter was lying at the point of death. It would seem that he would need immediate attention right here. But we know, as we see this story, how they came and he fell down at the feet of Jesus. In other words, when he heard that Jesus had arrived, he rushed and sought the help of Jesus, if you will. You see, he fell at the feet of Jesus. He began to worship Jesus and ask for that Jesus would come and lay hands on that little girl. You see right here that because this man who was the ruler of the synagogue had a need so great that he came and he fell at the feet of Jesus. But we know what happened right here. We know in between this story, all of a sudden here came a woman who had an issue of blood, and Jesus would get delayed from going to the house of Jairus, if you will. You see, why would he get delayed? We must understand there was a lot of people that was thronged at him. There was a crowd that was around him. But there was a woman with the issue of blood who had pushed through that crowd and also and came and touched him. My Lord, and during this time, we begin to see in verse 35, while yet he spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue, how certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Troublest thou not the master any further? My Lord, we see how they came to Jesus for help. And all of a sudden, word had came because that his daughter, that this young girl, 12 years of age, had died. Can you imagine what Jairus had felt right here? What was running through his mind? No doubt he may have been happy that woman was healed, but yet he was heartbroken to hear that his daughter had died. Maybe he was thinking, if they wouldn't have been delayed, my daughter would have lived. If it wouldn't been for this crowd, my daughter would have still be alive today, because Jesus would have got there. Maybe he thought like Mary and Martha thought. Remember when they said to Jesus, if you would have been here, our brother would not have died. You see, we don't know what was running through Jairus' mind, but I guarantee you there was something that was running through his mind. My Lord, that message had came that said to Jairus, trouble not the master any further. In other words, that word came to Jairus that was a hopeless message. They were saying This situation is over. This situation you might as well give up on. Your daughter is dead, and there ain't no hope right there. You see, that was the words of hopelessness. That was the words of someone that really did not know what Jesus could really do in their life. All those words strung out in hopelessness right there, in unbelief. And I thought, how many times do we say those words in certain different terms, if you will? Some would say nothing's ever going to change, if you will. Or we say this is beyond hope. Or I'm just giving up. I'm not going to pray about it anymore. Well, sometimes we make those statements. Anybody ever made statements like that before? Or am I the only one in here? My Lord, I guarantee you, you may have not said it out loud, but you probably have said it in your heart before. You probably looked at something and said, it's over. You probably looked at something and said, they ain't no hope for it anymore. You probably looked at a situation and said, I don't see it ever going to change. Well, let me tell you, many times those statements are made out of hurt. Sometimes those statements are made out of disappointment. But let me tell you, that statement like this right here was made out of hopelessness. Because when they thought that death was final, if you will. You see, that statement could also be a statement of unbelief, if you will. The faith of this certain one wasn't high enough to believe that Jesus could raise the dead. Some of you may be thinking, well, since this is this, it's not going to change. What can happen in my situation today? Lord, some may be saying, the doctors give me a bad report and I guess it's over. Some are being saying, I've been battling this for 12 years. I've been going through this for a long time and it seems like I ain't never going to get better. Well, I've come by to tell you this morning, the outlook may not look good. Everything may be working against you, but I want you to know Jesus was not confounded by this girl's death right here. I want you to know that Jesus was not powerless over death, that right there. And whatever you've got this morning, I've come by to tell you, he's still Lord of it all this morning. I've come by to tell you, he's still the great physician this morning. I've come by to tell you, he's still the resurrection this morning and life this morning. I've come by to tell you, he's still the provider this morning. I've come by to tell you, he is still the great I am this morning. Some of you need to quit looking at him as the great I was, because he is the great I am this morning. Amen. You see, right here in Jairus' house, that messenger came, didn't see him as the resurrection, but Jesus was going to show that he was the resurrection. You see, well, preacher, all of these things are against me. There ain't nothing that's working in my favor. Well, I want you to know this morning, you may not have worked nothing in your favor, but I can tell you God can create a miracle out of nothing. Did you hear me? I said he can create out of nothing today. How do we know? Because in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, for by him were all things created that are in the heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by him, and he is before all things. And by him all things consist. In John chapter 1 verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John chapter 1 verse 4, in him was life, and it was the light of men. Right there we begin to see how he can create something out of nothing. You ever thought about how he created this world? It wasn't no big bang. Anybody ever heard the big bang theory? Let me tell you, it wasn't no big bang. No, the Bible says God said let, and it came into existence. How many know that he hangs the stars and calls them by name? You ever thought about how God sustains? Think about the planets, how this earth just floats in the space, if you will. My Lord, what keeps it there? It's God that keeps it there. So what are you saying this morning, preacher? I'm telling you, there may be situations in your life that may seem hopeless. They may see situations in your life where there seems to be no way. But I want you to know, when whatever he has to do, he'll do to get to you this morning. Did you hear me? Remember last week, I preached on Jesus walking on the water in the midst of the storm to calm that turbulent sea. He did what he had to do to get to his disciples. And what are you saying this morning, preacher? I'm telling you, he'll do what he has to do to get to his people this morning. He'll do what he has to do to come to your aid this morning. Amen? He'll do what he has to do. He'll use what he has to use. If there's nothing, he'll make it in order to bring a miracle in your life. Lord, today we don't realize what God can do. My Lord, today, I like what that Mississippi governor said. He said, Christians ain't fearing COVID because we believe in eternal life. Amen. Not a truer statement that he's getting, some of them eating him alive, but that's a truer statement than what I've ever heard. When you believe in eternal life, in other words, you believe in Jesus, you know everything's going to be all right. Amen. I ain't walked through fear, through a store yet fearing I was going to catch anything. I ain't never been to a church service yet. Well, let me get this back. Before I was saved, I used to squirmer in church thinking something going to get a hold of me. That was something good. And he did. Amen. I used to squirmer a lot before I was saved. I used to have my exit strategy. I had my exit strategy. I said, if they got started shouting or hit to the altar, I was hitting out the back door, downstairs and out the back door. But I found out I couldn't go out the back door because God was still right there. Amen? I found out I couldn't run from him. Amen? But, Lord, what I'm saying is, let me tell you, I don't have to worry about getting sick today because I know who he is. Amen. I don't have to worry about everything going apart because I know how he is. I know this world is wicked, and I know this world's got problems. But I can tell you today, I'm not going to live in fear. Why? Because I know who he is. I know who he is this morning. I know he's the everlasting hope this morning. I know he's Alpha and the Omega. I know he's the beginning and the end. I know he's the first and the last. I know he's the great physician. I know that my Redeemer liveth on this Sunday morning. Just like Job did. You know what he said? He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Oh, my Lord. See, that these people got statements of hopelessness, of unbelief. People are hopeless today. People are literally hopeless today. Please don't take this statement wrong, because I think people need to do what they need to do. But if you're putting your trust in a mask to save you, you're putting your faith in the wrong place. I'm going to say this strong. If you're putting it in a jab to save you, or a piece of medicine to save you, in the wrong place. Because I've been hearing, it don't matter whether you had a jab or whether you had the mask, hospitals are full of both. Amen? I'll tell you where my hope, people are hopeless today. People, you can see it on their faces. You can see it the way in their statements they make. You can see the attitude that shows that they're hopeless. I think, man, if you just get born again, you wouldn't have that kind of hopeless attitude. If you get born again and get to know the Jesus that I know, let me tell you, you wouldn't be hopeless today. You'd be shouting the victory today, amen? You'd be knowing that your Redeemer liveth. You see, if I catch it, he's with me, amen? If I die, I'll be with him, amen? Amen? My Lord, today, listen what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, people are putting, they got a hopeless attitude on them. They think things ain't, they think they ain't no hope. They think everything's gloom, doom, despair. Listen here, child of God. Even in a world that is full of darkness, even in a world that is full of violence, disease and pestilence, I got a hope this morning. I'm not walking around hopeless. I'm not walking around with a limit on my face. Why? Because I know that our Redeemer liveth. And I know in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that blessed hope could show up. But hopelessness fills faces today. People don't know how to laugh and cut up anymore. I like to laugh. That's the reason I like to aggravate some of you. Why do you think I always call for a four-letter word? I like it, but I like to aggravate you even more, I think. Down home, I could get them to fight back at me. Some of y'all just take it, just go off. Down home, they'd throw things at me. I used to enjoy it. They'd put cakes in my face and everything like that. I'm all right with you. We'll be getting the pie thing going for a long. But no. See, that's the reason people walk around with a lemon. They're hopeless. They're miserable. People are literally miserable. You hear statements like this, it make you miserable too. You take that in your spirit. Hello? See, let me tell you, when they said, trouble not the master no more, in other words, that messenger was telling Jairus, give up. Let me tell you, that was a statement of unbelief. We'll see Jesus combated that statement. But that unbelief, what will unbelief? You want me to tell you what can hinder the work of God in your life? I can't hinder the work of God in your life. I can tell you the devil can't stop the work of God in your life. You make the decision. Amen? Now, he can come and pester you, attack you, but it's your decision whether you'll believe God. The devil can't make you believe or not believe. Hello? Hello, but unbelief is what will hinder one from receiving from God. See, the Bible tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. But in order to come to God, you must believe that he is. Listen, how many believe? Most people believe that he's Savior. A lot of people do. If you're saved, you had to believe he was a Savior. But I'm going to ask you, how many believe he's a healer? How many believe he's a deliverer? How many believe he's a baptizer in the Holy Ghost? How many believe he's a sanctifier? How many believe he's a great physician this morning? How many believe he's the great I am this morning? You see, if you're going to come to God, you're going to have to believe that he is that. Amen? If you don't believe he can't, if he don't heal, you might as well not even come to him, honey. Did you hear that? If you don't believe he can do it, you might as well just sit there because he ain't going to do it. Unbelief ain't going to move God. Unbelief's going to shut the door of God moving in your life. Listen, you can cry crocodile tears all day long, you won't. But if you ain't got faith, it ain't going to move God. You may be in a bad situation, but your situation ain't going to move God. What's going to move God is faith. Hello? What do we mean? We'll get there. See, that messenger came to Jairus saying, your daughter is dead. She quit breathing. Let's bury her and be done with it. In other words, Des ready to call the mortician before the upper taker. You believe Jesus still raises the dead? Oh, yes, I do. I've seen it before. You remember Kevin down in North Carolina? Half his brain laying on the road. He's alive today. That was 20-some years ago, I bet. 15, 20 years ago. Longer than that, probably. I've seen many stories of it. Jesus raising them up. I've heard them, stories of them laying in the morgue, have them cold, and they start going there and find them moving. Don't tell me God can't do it. Amen? Amen? I believe it. Seen it before. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, you need to read your Bible, honey, because I know who he is. Amen? See, they were writing him, they were writing this off. They were saying this 12-year-old girl was dead. This 12-year-old girl had died. She's going to move on. Trouble not Jesus no more. Give it up. Throw in the towel. Throw it in. Forget about it, Jairus. Your daughter's gone. She ain't coming back. She ain't going to breathe no more. My Lord, I don't want to hear that negativity. You know what? Jesus heard what they said. How many know Jesus heard that messenger? See, but Jesus had a different message to Jairus. See, Jesus had a message of hope instead of hopelessness. Jesus had a message that we can grab a hold of today. See, Jesus heard these words, trouble not the master any further. He heard these words of hopelessness and unbelief that came to the messenger of Jairus. Ain't it like, I'm not going to say, let me just put it like this. Ain't it something when you're believing God, the devil will send somebody to try to destroy your faith? Anybody ever notice that? Amen? The devil will try to send somebody with negativity all along the way. Amen? But I got news for you. Jesus has a different message than what Jairus had. That messenger had for Jairus. It wasn't trouble me no longer. It's over. It was, the message was not throw in the towel. But it's a message that you and I need to hear this morning. What was the message? The message was simply, be not afraid, only believe. If I had to tell the church something today, don't be afraid of what you're hearing going on in the world, but just believe God this morning. Because I'm telling you, people are bound by fear. I'm going to tell you the best way to turn off fear. Turn off the news. Turn off the mainstream news. Don't listen to Fauci. And I'll tell you, you won't be bound by fear. But people are so afraid. And I'm going to tell you, I don't believe God wants us walking in fear right now. Do I believe something's going on? Yes, I do. Just like I believe there's cancer. Just like I believe there's heart disease. Just like I believe there's influenza. Just like I believe there's flesh-eating bacteria. Just like I believe there's car accidents. Yes, I believe. Because the Bible tells us there's pestilence. But I'm telling you this morning, God don't want us walking in fear. God don't want me locking the door and hiding. We ain't going to, let me just tell you something. As long as we are on this side of glory, we're going to experience these things. There ain't enough vaccine to eradicate all the diseases that are in the world. Did you hear that? There's not. but I can tell you one drop of blood will make you whole. I can tell you the blood of Jesus is far greater than any disease. Amen. I can tell you he's a resurrection this morning. Amen. See, I'm telling you, too many, Jesus was telling Jairus, don't you be afraid. You just believe me. Trust me, Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. See, these words that Jesus spoke were words of life, and they're words of hope. These are the words we listen to this morning. See, I'm telling you, there's some that need to hear what God's saying and quit listening to what others are saying. See, the world will give you fear. The world will produce unbelief. But I'm telling you, God's word will give you life, and it will give you faith, and it will give you hope this morning. Why didn't you say Jairus had to fear? Why did Jairus not have to fear? Because I'm telling you, the one that spoke to him was a resurrection. That's the reason you don't have to fear. Right there in front of Jairus, the one that was talking to Jairus, giving him those words, be not afraid, only believe, was the resurrection that was standing in front of him or beside of him or wherever, speaking those words to him. Why? Because think about what John 11 and 25 says. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Me tell you, that has got a spiritual application to it, and it's got a natural application to it. Spiritually, we were dead in sin, but through Christ, we're alive in Christ. But how many know, right there in John 11, and I know it's a picture of the spiritual as well. How many know Lazarus was dead? He was stinking. They said, Jesus said this. They said, we know he's going to raise in the last day. But no, Jesus said, he's going to raise right now. He said, I'm not just the resurrection of tomorrow. I wasn't the resurrection of yesterday. Jesus was saying, I'm the resurrection of today. Hello. He was saying, I'm the yesterday, the day, tomorrow, forever. The same Jesus of yesterday is the same Jesus of today, and he's the same Jesus of tomorrow. Right there was enough for Jairus not to have to fear, because the resurrection was right there in front of him. You see, he was Jesus. What was Jesus telling Jairus? He was saying, continue to believe me, even in the face of death. Even in the face of death, believe me. Whenever things seem hopeless, whenever things seem it's final in the natural, continue to believe me. When the doctor gives you a report that ain't too good, you need to continue to believe him. When they say we've done all we can do, you continue to believe him. Amen? You see, what I'm telling you is, you got to believe despite the circumstances. Because the circumstances will be against you. The circumstances are going to testify of the bad. Amen? The circumstances are going to be against you. See, but we want to listen to those circumstances instead of believing God. Well, I've come by to tell you, instead of listening to that hopeless situation, that hopeless message, you need to hear what Jesus is saying. I remind you this Sunday morning that he is the resurrection. I remind you he is life this morning. I remind you he's a healer this morning. Oh, I came by to remind you that all things are possible to them that believe this morning. How many believe that all things are possible? If you can believe this morning, how many believe you can move a mountain with the faith of the size of a mustard seed this morning? My Lord, listen. I come by to tell you that there's a message of hope this morning. I've come by to tell you, don't you throw in the towel. Don't you give up this morning. Even what your circumstances says, you may be saying, well, it looks dead. Well, let me tell you, Jesus knows how to resurrect the dead this morning. How many's read the Bible? How many know he knows how to resurrect the dead this morning? Oh, listen. There are those that will try to tell you otherwise, that it's hopeless. But Jesus said it's not. That's the message. That is not the message of the Lord. The message of the Lord is simple. Be not afraid, but only believe. Don't quit. Despite the report, let me tell you, this same Jesus is the same Jesus today. Listen, I believe God would tell you, don't hear the evil report. Pay no attention to the evil report. Listen to what I'm telling you this morning. Hear the word of God this morning. Hear the word of life this morning. Not the words of defeat. The world's going to be, let me tell you about the world. They don't know Jesus. So they don't know hope. You don't know Jesus, you don't know hope. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know life. But as Christians, if you're born again, you know hope this morning. You know life this morning. Don't let the devil try to discourage you. Don't let others throw water on your fire, if you will. See, Jesus got a message of hope this morning. Not of hopelessness. You hear me. There's no hopeless situations, only hopeless people. And the reason they're hopeless is because they don't know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we see Jairus' daughter had died. Jesus had been delayed from getting there. But Jesus went on to the house of Jairus. See, that messenger would have told Jesus not to come. But Jesus said, I'm going on because he's going to do something here. Some would have said, you're too late. Some would have said, you should have come earlier. But I'm going to tell you, I have no doubt that Jesus was right on time. He's never late and he's never early. But he's right on time. Sometimes I've wondered, where are you at, Jesus? Anybody else? Sometimes, Pastor, I can't even remember. I've been here about 18, 19 years now. There have been times I wondered, where are you at, Lord? I'd be there pulling my hair out, not so much here as it was where I was before. Worried about things, how things were going to happen, how things were going to be paid. But there's one thing I found out. Sometimes it didn't come when I wanted it to come, but it come right on time. Amen? Amen? I'm the kind that likes an early bird. I like to have it in my hands before it gets there. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Am I the only one like that? I feel more comfortable if I got it in my hands before it gets there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But I got news for you. I found out sometimes it don't come like that. God waits till it's right on his time. And that's the best timing, to be honest with you. My Lord, he came right on time. Just like with Lazarus. When they said he was late, I want you to know that Jesus of Nazareth was right on time. 4 days late, Lazarus was stinking, but yet he was right on time. Oh, you see, what did Jesus find when he got to the house of Jairus? He found a funeral going on. Hello. Hello. Mark chapter 5, verses 38 and 39. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeing the turmoil and them who wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, why do you make this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeps. See, in this time, in Jewish customs, they would literally be Jewish mourners, hired people who would come and mourn when a death occurred. It was a tradition for them to wail loudly like this, whoa, get loud. They'd be paid to show people how to lead the family and friends and lamenting. In other words, these people would be paid to weep and mourn. Let me tell you what Jesus did. First thing, Jesus, when he got there, he came in and questioned their weeping. Why are you doing this? I ain't going to tell people what to do, but I like what Smith Wigglesworth said. If you believe somebody's in heaven, you don't go and put, you don't go, he didn't go and visit their grave lots or put their flowers on the tombs. This is what Wigglesworth said. He said, because I know where they're at, I'm not going to mourn for them. Amen. I tell people, I say, listen here. If I go on before the rapture, I said, I don't want you weeping because I'm going to be dancing. I don't want you crying because I'm going to be jumping. I don't want you thinking I'm dead. I think it was Billy Graham or C.S. Lewis once said, the obituary, the newspaper may say I'm dead, but I'm going to tell you I'm not dead. I'm alive more than I've ever been alive. Amen? You see, Jesus came in right here, and he questioned, why in the world are you sitting here mourning over this little girl? Why are you wailing like you're doing? He come in and questioned them. In other words, he didn't go along with it, what they were doing right there. See, Jesus had come. Not only he questioned their unbelief. See, that wailing and that weeping showed their unbelief too. See, Jesus had come to bring life to that little girl. Jesus had come to bring her life, bring life. And they there were there mourning. And they were there weeping over her. While the resurrection was there to give her life. Ain't it something? See, that arrival of Jesus should have caused hope and rejoicing. But the people were still weeping and mourning. Jesus said, well, she just sleeps. See, with God, God looks at death just as sleep. He can wake it up just like that. How many know one day, in the moment, there's going to be graves busted open, their soul and spirit's going to reunite, and they're going to put on a glorified body. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. How many know he's the resurrection again? That, you know what they did in verse part of 40? What the Bible says they begin to do to Jesus, they begin to scorn him. There wasn't a bit of faith in these people right here when he said that. They began, in other words, it wasn't enough to disagree with Jesus. But these people literally jeered Jesus out loud. In other words, they mocked him out loud. I can see it now. Yeah, what's he going to do? She sleepeth. No, I can hear him now. No, she dieth. They were doing this out loud at him. But I got news. I'm going to just tell you. Don't you surround your system, surround yourself who are full of people like this. Hey, man, surround yourself with people who's going to build your faith. Hey, man, surround yourself with people who's going to encourage you in the Lord this morning. There'll be those that will try to pour unbelief onto you. What did Jesus do to these people? I'll tell you what Jesus did to them. Hear me. He had his three inner circle. Peter, James, and John. That was like the inner circle of Jesus he had with him. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus did to these scorners. He put them out. He put the unbelief out. And let me tell you, Jesus didn't do this lightly. I was reading some commentaries. I believe it was the Jimmy Swagger commentary. It said that when Jesus done this, he didn't just tell them to go. He demanded them to go. And it probably got to the point where he even did this even forcefully, like he did with the cleansing of the temple. I can see that. Because Jesus was going to show something. But he had to remove the unbelief. I believe he done this forcefully. How many know? He overthrew tables and he took a whip to those in the temple. And when he got rid of those, that's when the miracles began to take place in the house of God, in the temple of God. Well, they were there mourning and having their little wailing. Jesus removed them from the premises. Said, I don't need you here. I want some people that's going to believe. I want some people. I don't want that unbelief. That unbelief had to go. That unbelief had to be out of the way. See, we can't allow unbelief in our lives. We have to kick it out. Sometimes it's got to be demanded. We kick it out. Sometimes we got to kick it out forcefully, but it's got to go. Jazz, if you want to bring Marcy up here. See, Jesus went into that room with the parents of this and his three disciples and took her by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumma, means damsel, I say unto you, arise. You know, life come back into her. The very moment he said that, life come back into her. Let me just give you an interesting nugget right here. Ain't it interesting in this story? We see two different stories here. A woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. And how old was this little girl? 12. That's something, ain't it? Two 12s right there. I know 12 is the government of God. I can't give you an answer specifically, but I believe it's got to do with his divine authority, completeness, his government, his authority, if you will. But I felt that to be interesting. The woman dealt with the issue of blood for 12 years, and the little girl that he raised from the dead was 12 years of age as well. The miracle-working power of Jesus Christ. See, here's the point. When things look bad, and it may seem like it's over, Marcy, it ain't over. It's not over until he says it's over. Don't you lose hope this morning. Remember, there ain't nothing that's too far gone that Jesus cannot fix. He showed that he could heal sickness. What doctors couldn't do, he did. Then he also showed that he can do what man couldn't do by resurrecting the dead. What he's showing is he is complete and he's authority over all. He's the government. Amen. He's the final. Say, I got news for the world. I got news for this wicked world this morning. There's going to be a day where they're going to answer to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't you give hope up this morning. This world's getting wicked by the day, and it's going to get by. But it's not the end. It's not the end. Climate change is going to get us. Let's laugh at that, because climate change is a joke. It is a religion in its own where it worships the earth. And I'm going to tell you, there ain't no Mother Nature. It's Father God. Let me tell you, somebody said, climate change, climate change, climate change. And I believe in being a good steward. I don't believe we go around throwing trash out. I believe we take care of the things God gives us. How many believe that this morning? But I'm going to tell you, God's already told me a new heaven and a new earth. That's all you need to know about it right there. They're spending all these millions. We're going to save the earth. Jesus already said we're going to have a new heaven and we're going to have a new earth. It ain't coming to an end. Saints, we're promised a better day. It's going to get better for the saints of God. Hey, man, you can stand it here this morning. We'll see those online tonight. How many would say, preacher, I'm facing a hopeless situation. I want you to know there's hope this morning. I want you to know that there ain't nothing too far for God to fix this morning. You got a situation in your life, you got an ailment, you got a sickness, and there seems to be no answer. There seems to be no way.